Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. We're back in Studio A, as you can see, and I'm really excited to be here. It's great to be out of what we called Studio Z, which were very humble abodes to do our broadcast. But here we are, and you can see the studio behind me, and it's really exciting to be here. But we have a very, very grim topic. We have on the line with us a, shall we call him a deep cover insider, very well placed, standing at the forefront of a lot of information that we're going to share. And we're going to get to the latest trick the Democrats have up their sleeve for Donald Trump. And it would be something that none of us would have anticipated. We're also going to talk about something called Operation Nitro Zeus. And in addition, we're going to talk about EMP. So we've got a full menu. First, I need to let you know, if you don't know who I am, and you've just humbled yourself to come down to our level and be on our show, thank you for joining us here in the live feeds. And please leave your comments here, and we'll look at them as we go. But my name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And you can tell I'm gleefully back home, and we have a lot to cover. But first, I need to let you know we have a couple sponsors for this program, which will, by the way, be going out over our radio show as well. And I should make a quick announcement. We're going on KYAH radio in Utah soon. Don't have a start date yet. We'll firm that up on Monday, and I'll be letting you know. We're brought to you by the best storable food company in the world. We call it preparewithdave.com. We started with a two-week mini package. Why? Because people don't even have 2 days. So we thought, let's make it so inexpensive, people will at least get started. And 2 weeks is nowhere near to get you out of danger, but it could get you through an initial crisis. And we're offering it for 47% off. I mean, we're serious about getting people started. If you're an existing customer and you're adding to your stockpiles, people say, Dave, it's so cheap, can I buy more than one? The answer is, of course. We had one guy last week buy 20. So that's certainly an option. And this is a great bug out kit too. So if you ever had to hit the road for whatever reason, you can take this with. So there are three purposes there. Same restaurant quality, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, no glyphosates, no GMOs, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Virtual Shield. Hear me and hear me clearly. You do not know for sure who's going to be your commander in chief in just over a year. And you are being stalked, you are being profiled. Every keystroke, every place you travel, every conversation you have, an earshot of a cell phone, it's all being cataloged, it's all being scored, and you're on a list. Do you want to lower your risk level? Well, then you need to go with the best VPN out there, and that's Virtual Shield. They make it easy to get started. You can have a 30-day free trial or 30% off. Either one. Go to hidewithdave.com. That's hidewithdave.com. Well, we've got the preliminaries out of the way. That's who brings this show to you. And we have a terrific guest for you. I call him Wrecker. And that's more because of his past exploits than what he does now. But he is what we call a deep cover insider. And he brought to us three amazing stories. So, Wrecker, I'm glad you could join us, and I think I'd like to start with what you told me in an earlier conversation as I was making my way across the Arizona desert about what the Democrats have in store for Donald Trump.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on this evening. So what we were discussing earlier is shouldn't be too much of a surprise to anybody, but let's look at the facts starting from 2015 to now. The Democrats have tried to pull every stunt that they can to blackball and smear President Trump. they start off by calling him a racist. You know, they said that he was a xenophobic and isolationist, that he was going to ruin our trade, he was going to ruin the economy, that they want to use the 25th Amendment, saying that he's mentally unstable, that he's in poor health. You know, and here's the latest. You know, we have the Russia collusion, we have the Ukraine collusion, the adult film star issue. Anything that they can think of to smear President Trump, they have tried it. They have dug up every skeleton in the graveyard, and none of them are walking, brother, because ain't none of them going to work against President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to continue to find as much as they can on him. And the latest is what just recently happened in Iraq. Now, for those who don't know, Bayop, Iraq, a place I'm very familiar with, which is the Baghdad International Airport, just recently had a package delivered via Hellfire, and the Iranian, let's just say, chief of staff chairman, their big-time number one commanding general, Soleimani, was just killed. He was killed, and now the Democrats are actually blatantly saying that this is abuse of his power because he didn't convene Congress. I heard Nancy Pelosi speak about this, mm-hmm. and I had to stop and laugh because during President Obama's reign of terror, that man killed I don't know how many people with drones, but he bragged about it. He literally bragged about it. I don't know where he was at. I think it was the on the press briefings. He said, "I got two words for you: predator drones."
Yes.
He thought it was just funnier than hell that he could kill whoever he wanted with the drones. And granted, if he was killing terrorists, he's killing bad guys. Whatever, do your job. However, whenever President Trump does it, all of a sudden now it's a bad thing. And it's only because the Democrats are going to do and use whatever they can think of to try and blackball and sparrow. Here's what I think the big goal is. We have Russia, China, and Iran conducting naval operation drills. They're basically having war games.
Yes.
We got the threat of the impeachment going on, which is a sham, a mockery. I've enjoying watching the festivities. I hope they continue because they're guaranteeing a 2020 win for President Trump. We also have the new Ukrainian scandal that is just going to completely lay Joe Biden's son under the table. And he's going to end up becoming a sacrificial lamb for the elite because he can't get yourself out of the hole he just dug himself into. But lo and behold, we have our chance to take out an extremely bad guy. President Trump says, you know what? Our embassy was just attacked. I'm very familiar with that embassy. I've been there. And they pulled the trigger, and they got him. And the world's a better place without him. Funny enough, though, yeah, I think it was New York Times or Washington Post wanted to almost write a eulogy for this guy. I mean, this guy ruthlessly killed many a people. He was in support of Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthi rebels. And stop for a second and let me define this. The media gets this wrong every single time. The Houthi rebels, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Hezbollah and Hamas that are also now operating in Iraq, you know, the place where we fought for like 19 years. Here's the big deal about that. These are not small town militias. These are not a band of guerrilla fighters. These are guys with military. They have military communication capabilities. They have very significant payloads because they're shooting rockets every day into Israel. You know, you have to have funding to even get these rockets. They're not cheap. You can't go down to your regular fireworks store and buy this kind of stuff. Someone is providing them military-grade assets, mm-hmm. and that someone has always been Iran. So these are literal militaries. They're not militias. They're militaries. They are a shadow military because they're not, I guess you would say, a direct arm or branch of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but they're the subjugates of it. They are ran by Iran. Soleimani was a guy who coordinated everything. He's a guy who pulled everything together. These terrorist organizations all have a chain of command, and it all goes straight to the guy who just got hit by a missile. So the best way to kill the snake is what, Dave?
Cut his head off. Yeah, exactly.
So that's what just recently happened. And now I'm hearing Pelosi say, well, he didn't convene Congress and get our permission. So he's now going out of bounds of his constitutional power. Well, according to the War Act, the president can and should be doing what President Trump just did, just like how President Obama bragged about how many numerous times he killed people with drones.
Yes.
This is nothing unnormal. This is nothing out of the normal. We hit people with drones every week. I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there. 99% of them deserved it. If we're coming after you with the drone, we got a reason to hit you with that missile. Normally, that's a very good reason. Now, there was some collateral damage. Five of these terrorist organization upper echelon guys were also hit. And then, unfortunately, a couple civilians were hit. But you know what? This is war. You come down, you come over to Baghdad, you want to burn our house down, we're going to burn your house down too. This is the tit for tat of war.
Yes.
And I think it's very entertaining that Pelosi wants to now get on her high horse with her pedestal and say, he didn't get all her permission. The president does not need the Speaker of the House's permission and does not need Congress's permission to take out a terrorist. He has all full legal authority to do that. He exercised his authority. He has military advisors, CIA advisors, Department of State advisors. So if you're going to hit one man, you got to hit everybody across the board. This was a coordinated military attack, and they had everything lined up, and they said, hey, boss, Mr. President, we got him. We getting a green light? Hit him with it. All right. POTUS said hit him with it. Fire on. And now we have this issue. So what is coming to the light is that the Democrats are trying to have as much of a snowball against Trump as possible. They're trying to build up as much as possible, I believe, for 2020. The issue is going to be to take all of their concerns and produce all their concerns in front of the UN at one of their international courts and say, this guy's a dictator. This guy is basically a terrorist himself. He is killing people without any right or reason. This is not far cry to say this, but I can hear the Democrats already saying, he killed Iran's top commanding general. Which nation's commanding general will he kill next? We have to stop this guy. It's too easy for me to make that story up in my head and look at all the damning things that the Democrats keep saying about Trump. It's, in my mind, it just makes sense at this point that they're running out of so many options. So the American people are going to vote for Trump. They've lost everything when it comes to going to the House for all their little investigations. They know they're done. Now Virginia and a couple other states are trying to ban guns because
yes,
they couldn't pass H.R. 1296 through Congress. Now they're going to try and pass their own states' rights laws and thinking that they can supersede over the Constitution. And they're pulling even more supporters that they had towards the right and towards Trump. They know they're going to lose in 2020. And they know Trump has then 4 years to turn the heat up on the Democrats, and they're scared. They're terrified. and their last bastion of hope is going to be the UN. And they're going to produce all this criminal material, quote unquote, to the UN and say, you guys got to help us. Add into that, here's the propagation of war because we just had a guy assassinated. Now, to be fair, if someone were to take out the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that would be a direct provocation for war against the United States. That's basically what we did to Iran. So I'm fully expecting blowback. I'm fully expecting the Iranians in cahoots with Russia, China, little Kim Jong-un if he wants to come outside and play. I'm fully expecting some sort of an attack. Bench. Either they're going to activate people who have been here, which if they do, it's not gonna be as bad as what some people are saying is, but they can still attack the grid in such a way that it could really hurt us. So that's the first issue. I believe they're gonna try and take all these evidence that they have and produce it to the UN.
So we're looking at like an international tribunal. And, you know, I don't know, Wrecker, if you're familiar with the Kigali principles, but Obama signed this on as the 29th signatory right before he left office. And it basically says the UN can make a unilateral decision on these 29 nations. If there is a problem in a country, they reserve the right to go in militarily with the other signatories' armies to restore control in the way that they deem fit. And it sounds like that's what the Democrats would be working towards. Am I close?
Yeah, you're spot on. And here's the thing. This is something that I've predicted. I'm not seeing the future here. I'm just reading all the signs. But
sure.
I predicted about a year or two ago that the Democrats, along with Iran and some of these other countries that are not our friends, were eventually going to go to the UN and say that the real problem in the world, according to America, used to be Islamic terror. And that's why you waged war in almost every country across the world. That's why you have, over 400 bases across the world, troops everywhere, and you're killing people everywhere. You're waging war on terror whenever it feels fit for your scheme.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And here's the thing. That's completely true. We have some very shady people who work for our government, who do suppress other nations, who have been fighting terror, but albeit fighting terror with terror, sometimes using the CIA for that, but we won't go into that murky water. But it's not going to take much if we get into an actual tick with Russia, China, or Iran, for someone to come up to the UN and say, America, you used to tell us that the real threat was Islamic terror. Well, after 20 years of fighting Islamic terror and seeing that you've done nothing really about it except for kill thousands of people, it seems to me that the real threat to the world is the American imperialism, which I hate to say it, it's kind of accurate, honestly. The military industrial.
You're cutting out a little bit here. Can you reorient?
It has dwindled itself down to because we let the deep state completely take over.
Okay. Wrecker, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thought I lost you there for a second. Listen, I agree with you about your comment on American imperialism. I think there's no question that you're right on the money with that. You got the John Boltons that invaded Trump's administration, and I hear what you're saying, but there's a fine line. And let me tell you where I draw the line here. I agree with you about imperialism, particularly in Afghanistan, protecting the drug lords there and so forth, but we just had an embassy attacked That's sovereign U.S. territory, and the attack had deadly intent behind it. We can't allow that to stand. And what I like that Trump did, he didn't go after the people on the ground perpetrating the violence per se. He went after the man who started the violence, initiated it. And I think that was a very proportionate response.
Yeah, I agree. You know, whenever they shot down our drone recently, I did not see that as a reason for us to go to war.
I didn't either.
These things happen. I don't like them, but these things happen. We shoot down plenty of things in the sky that belong to other countries, and it never makes the news. All of a sudden, they shoot down one of ours, and CNN and the Democrats and Fox News are all chanting for us to go to war, and now they're mad because Trump doesn't want to go to war. But Trump just recently said, it was either today or yesterday, that what I did was not for us to go to war. It was to stop the war. He killed the Iranian version, basically, of their next Hitler, because that's what this guy was going to end up turning to. He was going to slaughter as many people as possible for his ideology.
I agree. I could not agree with you more. I think it was a proportionate response. I'll tell you one thing about the mainstream media I'm seeing on this story, too, is papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post, both sellouts, referred to the deadly attackers at the embassy as protesters. Can you believe that?
Yeah, they're always doing their doublespeak. You know, I've been in Iraq 3 times, and I've worked with Sunni, and I've worked with Shia, and I've sat back and watched both of them kill each other. This is a war that has always been there and will always be there. If we pulled out and Russia took over, it's still going to be there. No one will solve the Sunni-Shia issue. I do like Putin's little threat where he threatened to land a nuke on that black rock at Mecca. However, the Saudis are still our allies only because they helped prop up the petrol dollar.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's really one of the only reasons why we ended up killing Saddam. Saddam wanted to take over Kuwait. He wanted to invade Saudi Arabia. And lo and behold, now he's got weapons of mass destruction. Now he's this big bad guy. But for almost 20 years, we've let him do whatever he wanted to, just like Gaddafi, because they wanted the gold standard for their dinar.
Right.
You know, here's the real issue. The real issue is if the Democrats are so willing to throw Trump under the bus, who is backing them? And who is telling them that they will provide them protection if they can go through with this to get Trump out, however that means is, you know, the by any means necessary, I believe it would probably be the CHICOMs, the Russians, the Iranians, the BRICS nations.
I got one more group for you, Doug. Douglas MacArthur. You know what he'd say? You know what MacArthur or Eisenhower or Nimitz or any of these great leaders from the past would say? I don't care who gets in the way. We're going to smash the holy hell out of you. And we don't care who puts you up to it. We're going after it. And I'm telling you, and this is where we need to have leaders like we had in yesteryear. And Trump is showing that leadership right now. I'm not in favor of war. You know, I believe in peaceful, nonviolent change, but we've been attacked with deadly intent. And so Douglas MacArthur, you got Dwight Eisenhower, you got Nimitz, you got all these great generals from the past, George Patton. What would they have done in this situation? What would these great leaders of yesteryear have done?
Well, America's weakness has always been tied with our strength. Our strength has always been America is more than willing to fight. And we're more than willing to bring the fight 1,000 miles away from our shores to your back door.
Yes.
Just like what Patton wanted to do whenever he rolled into Berlin.
Exactly.
After they, after they whooped the hell out of the Nazis, he wanted to continue after the communists because he knew the next issue was going to be Russia, but he was pulled back, which has always been part of our weakness.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't let the generals do their job. Well, right here, Trump said to Douglas MacArthur and to Nimitz and to all these other guys, he said, go get them. That's what he just did. That's what he just did. He turned loose these great military people.
I mean, what's a general's job? To make war.
Exactly.
To find a war, to wage the war, and to win the war. That's a general's job.
I mean, look at Korea. And I don't want to digress too much. But Douglas MacArthur in Korea had the right idea. When we got hit by a million Chinese, we should have responded with superior firepower, and Truman had his hand on the chicken switch, and all we ended up with was a stalemate, and we could have had total victory and eliminated all these damn problems we have today. And that's because we had a politician that wouldn't let a military man do his job. And now, Wrecker, we got a guy in the White House who would have turned Douglas MacArthur loose. Am I right?
The thing you'll always hear the Democrats and the other politicians say is, we don't want to hurt trade relations with these other countries. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares? We have plenty of people who want to buy our goods. We have plenty of people that we can buy goods from. If you threaten war against us, you should get the sword.
Exactly.
And not the hilt, not the butt end of it, the whole damn thing. And with an ideology like radical Islam, which I'm going to quote President Erdogan, there is no peaceful Islam, there is no radical Islam. Islam is Islam. The only thing about Islam that really matters to the American people, or should matter, is that you will either convert, be enslaved, or be killed. And with the 13th Mahdi, sect that's the real extremist that's in Iran, they have to have the Great World War in order to bring their 13th Mahdi, aka the Antichrist, out of the well that he crawls out of, so they can have their final end days.
Exactly.
And that's what this whole thing is about. Iran will always pick whoever they can to start this war. If we actually told Iran, hey, we're done, we're never going to mess with you again. In fact, we're going to start sending you money. We're going to leave you alone. You leave us alone. And if Iran agreed, they're going to find a reason to pick a fight with somebody else, because they that sect of their religion has to have that Great World War. So we're going to have our embassies attacked. We're probably going to have multiple embassies attacked. Here's the other issue. Is that Soleimani didn't just want to attack our embassy. He wanted to kill and maim anyone who was a supporter of the West. So that would be the Sunnis. He would have immediately started going after them.
Yeah.
And you know, they are our allies. And, you know, a little live and let live. If our allies call on us, we should be there to respond. And it wouldn't take Iran very much to march in Iraq and completely take it over. Iraq is a lost cause. Me personally, I think Iraq is a lot like certain parts of Mexico. It's a lost cause. It's like how the narco state is completely overwhelmed Mexico. The radical Islam has completely overwhelmed the better half of the Middle East. And there's no fixing an ideology. You have to end the bloodlines if you want to fix that ideology. And that's not something that I recommend we go down that road, but Iran wants to go down that road. And there's a bait and switch here. They attacked our embassy knowing that we're going to respond. I don't think they thought we were going to take out their number one general, but I believe it was the fair response. We could have killed hundreds of people. Instead, we took out, what, 7 or 8? You know, I mean,
I know.
What would they have done if they actually breached into the inner corridors of our embassy? Would they have taken them hostage? would they have cut their heads off for all of us to see, like what ISIS is so fond of doing?
Yeah, I hear you. No, listen, I think it would have gotten very bloody, and thank God for those brave Marines. But I keep going back to, we finally, and I think we have to go back to the days of Ronald Reagan, we finally have a general that would turn Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur loose on our enemies, just like they, just like in World War II. And thank God we had those generals. And thank God we got Donald Trump, because right now, if I was in the military, if I was a senior command officer in the military, I'd be saying right now, President Trump gets it. He gets it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. You know, when I was in Iraq, we used to have a little joke that we should pull everybody out, pull everyone out of Iraq and turn it into Lake America. Drop as many bombs as possible, and it's going to be the biggest damn swimming hole in the Middle East, and we're going to make a lot of money off of it. However, we didn't do that. We wanted to build McDonald's and try and rebuild a crippled infrastructure that we practically completely ruined. You know, like I said, Iraq is a lost cause at this point. There are too many different radical ideologies in Iraq for us to ever fix. I personally believe if there was one embassy, which is one of the most well-built, well-constructed, and well-fortified embassies in the world, is the one that's in Baghdad, we should abandon it, completely abandon it. Pull all of our guys out of Iraq, pull all of our guys out of Afghanistan, and say, hey, boys, have at it. You want to kill each other? Kill each other. But my young men and women are no longer going to be fodder for this war. Because all war is old men talking and young men dying.
That's right.
It's the reason why a lot of my brothers are still pissed off that we even have guys there. Because I remember when Obama came in when I served under him. Oh, we're going to pull everybody out of Iraq as I'm going back there. And you know, it's such a laugh. Because this is a war that we could stay in until the end of time. And people are now getting pissed at Trump. Oh, Trump's going to send a couple thousand people in there. He's breaking his promise. Well, I mean, what did you want us to do? Just let the embassy be overran? Show, you know, show everybody our tail and just duck and hide in the corner? That's not Trump. That's not why we voted that man into the office. We wanted a pit bull. We didn't want a politician. We didn't want a sweetheart Lindsey Graham. We wanted a guy who's going to go out there and is going to, you know, hide some brass knuckles under his glove and hit you when you ain't looking. We needed a guy who wanted to fight, not talk about fighting. And
exactly.
We got him. And that's why the world is scared to death of Trump.
Yeah, well, like I said, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight Eisenhower, two men who are heroes. And I've got little mementos of them that my dad gave to me as a kid, that I display very proudly on my display mantle. And I'm so glad to see the return. I don't want to see any more death and destruction. I hope that Trump is able to say, now, do you want to talk or do you want more? And I hope that they say, okay, he's got the upper hand. I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest with you. But we need a president that's going to stand up. But it's interesting to me. You're absolutely right about one thing you said. The Democrats, but they wanted war over that fake chemical attack in Syria, you know, a year and a half ago when Trump was getting ready to pull out of Syria. They wanted war over that. But the minute that Trump initiates a defensive maneuver in defense of an embassy, our sovereign territory with casualties, and all of a sudden now he's in the wrong. You're absolutely right. The Democrats are indeed going to go to the UN. After we spoke on the phone, I made a call to somebody who's investigating fusion centers for me. And I said, what do you know about this? He goes, that story's been out there for about 6 months. Is that true, Wrecker? Is that how long that story's been out there?
Yeah.
Wow. That's just amazing to me. I want to get down here to Operation Nitro Zeus, something that we have talked about a couple of times in the past, privately, not publicly, but we're going to bring this into the public forum here. You were of the mindset, if I heard you correctly, that you think that Operation Nitro Zeus is something that is going to is a real possibility in Iran. And if it is, I'd like to talk about it. Have you tell our audience, you know, what it entails, how dangerous it is, and the implications?
Sure. Because it is an operation, I can't go into the full specs of it. But basically, it's a planned invasion of Iran, which Iran already knows. And we're going to hit the nuclear fusion centers. The issue with this, and I'll get down to the nitty-gritty for this part. The issue with this invasion is that Saudi Arabia will help, Qatar will help, Israel will help. The moment our bombers come into, cross Iraq, come into Iran airspace, we're going to have about an hour's window before Russia comes there to intercept. So that means everything has to be done fast and violent and in a hurry and extremely effective. Here's the issue. The issue is that the success rate is very low and the casualty rate is very high. No matter what, if this operation actually goes into effect, we're going to lose a lot of good guys. And it's going to be so that Iran can no longer make any nuclear materials. Here's why I think that's kind of stupid. They don't have to make any nuclear materials. They have the money to buy it. You know, we've been putting blockades on them. We have been crippling their currency, but yet they're still rocking and rolling. That's because they're being provided money by Russia and by China. And since they're aligned with the BRICS nations, they don't have to rely on our petrodollar. They can rely on whatever those two entities give them.
Right.
So in some ways, it's kind of foolish to try and take out a nuclear fusion center when they're going to get bombs however they get bombs. And, you know, all Russia has to do is just pick one up, put it in a 18-wheeler and drive it to them. Here's the other issue. This is mutually assured destruction. The moment we cross Iranian airspace, we're going to get intercepted eventually within a very short time span by Russia. That means we're probably going to be entangled in a couple dogfights with Russia, which I don't like those odds very much going against Russian MiGs or their Sukhos that they have. Which means we're probably going to end up getting involved with some sort of naval conflict with China and with their fighters. Which means if we're attacking one of the main members of the BRICS nations, America is going to get attacked. And we know it will get attacked. And that's just one of those unfortunate threats that we're just going to have to sit down and swallow that one and just expect it. The word going firm is what's going to end up happening. Anywhere there's military, they're going to have to take over within that area and go firm and sit and wait for whatever attack is going to happen. Every base will be activated. Anyone that was in the reserves, you're now active. Guys who are retired, you're getting pulled back. You know, it's going to be the all hands call of all time. And America is going to get hit. And we've discussed this so many times, it needs to be brought up again. Real quick, I very much recommend that people brush up on Dr. Peter Vincent Fry and all of his teachings on an EMP and what an EMP is, how it can be launched, how effective it can be, and what it can do to America. The second thing, I highly recommend that people buy the book or buy the audio book 1 second after
Yes. In
the three book series.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that will bring you to your knees try and listen to that series because it will make you realize all your preparations you've been doing, you may have not been thinking about this one thing. If the power goes out, how do you get your fuel out of the ground? How do you get your water out of the ground? What if you're on a life-saving support system in a hospital or in a nursing home? What about the planes flying in the sky? That's now a giant fuel bomb. The EMP threat, it's not a conspiracy theory. Whenever the DOD has plans for this for the past 20 years of what to do in case of. But they're never going to tell it to the American public because the American public has to be dependent upon the government for the government to function. The moment we all start going quote-unquote underground and off the grid and self-reliant, we don't need the government and their handouts anymore. So that's going to bankrupt part of the government, and we can't have that. If you don't understand the necessity of power, of electricity, I double-dog dare you. Next time a blizzard hits, turn off all the power in your house. See how long you last. Start walking everywhere. Because even if the cars are still rolling, if an EMP goes off, it's only rolling for as long as you've got gas in it. You know, it's something me and Bob Griswold talked about before. Your area of operations is your gas tank limit. You cannot go further than you have gas unless you have horses, ATVs, you're still limited on the fuel range there, or you're on foot traffic. So you are limited, really, by how far your fuel will last. I highly recommend for people to always have a full gas tank and always be able to fill your gas tank twice, if possible. The threat of the EMPs, down in Venezuela, the Russians have three of their bear bombers down there. Those bear bombers, I'm giving you an example of what kind of missiles or bombs they may have. It may have an EMP on it. I'm not going to say that's for certain. I'm not going to say that's solid intel. I'm just going to say human intelligence may be telling us they have EMP devices. Go ahead and put in to another scenario that the Spetsnaz have been here for a very long time, and they've integrated into our government, into our military. They could be your local fire chief. They could be the local principal. But they are here, and they're all trained to do one thing, take down the power grid. Six-man team, the entire city of New York can go black.
You sound like John Moore, but that's exactly what John says, ex-Green Beret.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of what I do for the government is plan for guys like this. And I'm telling you, it's a nightmare. Because America's Achilles heel, since the Industrial Revolution, has been our power. If you take out the power, America's done. Our next Achilles heel is the GPS satellites. If China and Russia, who have their satellite killer satellites, if they take those out, our missile guided systems are done. Everything will be line of sight. That means our ability to rule the air is not going to be very well. Our ability to communicate for command and control is done. Here's the other thing. Look at what California did not too long ago with the ham radios. You killed command and control of any type of resistance that could thwart any sort of invading army or any type of army that was already in place in California and attempted to take over. If you take out the power, how is one guerrilla group going to talk to the other guerrilla group? It won't be by smoke signals. So here's the issue. I strongly recommend people start researching how to use solar power, how to be able to recharge batteries. You can have diesel saved up and have a PTO-driven generator that you attach to a tractor, and it can power the entire house and charge all your stuff at the same time, and you only got to turn it on once or twice a day. but you have to start researching, and you needed to start doing it last year. And this goes for all of us. Not one person in this country, not Bill Gates, not Jeffrey Epstein, nobody will be prepared for an EMP. Our government will not be prepared for an EMP. This nation is, we're at the precipice of a civil war. It's one thing Alex Jones said before, and I laugh every time I hear his Pierce Morgan interview. If you try and take our guns, 1776 will happen again. You're damn right. And being that I am in law enforcement, and being that I know a lot of other law enforcement officers, we are watching very heavily what's going on in Virginia and talking to guys who are in Virginia, and many of them are willing to lay down the badge and go somewhere else and move out of state. And that's very sad because we need good cops. Cops are bad. Cops are just like anybody else. You got good ones, you got bad ones. For the most part, we're all patriots. We all want to do the right thing. However, there will be those pariah, who will do whatever the deep state tells them. And that's going to go along with our military as well. The moment an EMP happens, America is going to be a land of tribes and warlords. And I just strongly suggest people get prepared for that. Like the food that you sell, or the food that Steve Quayle sells, or the food that, you know, Bob Griswold sells. All these preparation items, they're great. It's amazing to have it, and it will save your life if you know how to use it. If you own a gun and you don't know how to use the gun, you're already behind the curve. If you're not in shape and you don't have the adequate amount of medicine that you're supposed to have, you're already behind the curve. And my heart goes out to people who can't afford everything, but if you can afford $20 worth of cigarettes a month and $40 worth of beer, you can easily go and get $60 worth of food that may last a couple of weeks from the Dollar General.
Yeah, that's pretty stark advice, but I agree with you here. I mean, we've just touched the surface of this. If you're just joining us for the live broadcast, we're going to replay this in the morning, and it'll go out over our radio show. It'll be on Megaphone, and it'll make the rounds. But we have discussed how the Democrats are going to try to take Trump out by going to the UN and calling for an international trial, like a war criminal trial. We've talked about Operation Nitro Zeus, taking out Iranian nuclear facilities, and how it's probably a fool's errand. And we've been focusing last here on EMP threat. I had a congressman for years who tried to get the NERC and Obama and everyone's attention about the EMP danger. He even came to my church and spoke to a large crowd, and he couldn't move the needle. Why does the government refuse to invest in infrastructure to protect the grid from an EMP?
Well, for one thing, I don't think you can fully protect the grid. The theory is from Dr. Peter Vincent Fry, who I have researched very much, and I've read a lot of his papers. I've watched a lot of his instructional videos and his briefings that the government has access to, and it's downright scary because there's three grids. You have the Texas grid, you have the eastern grid, and you have the western grid. Well, the western and eastern are tied into each other. There's a theory if either one of those grids go down, you're going to have a cascading event that could go from east to west, and within 24 hours, it's all done. Not to mention parts of Canada are tied into that grid, and some parts of northern Mexico are tied into that grid. Texas is the only one who ended up doing it right. They're on their own grid. Yeah. I don't know how well protected the infrastructure is, but I guarantee you it's better than the rest of the country. You know, next time you go driving down the road and you see where the power substations are at, look at the little shooting chain link fence that you could pry apart with a pair of pliers. And just remember, if that goes down, you don't have power. And if you can climb over that fence yourself, how easy is it going to be for the Spetsnaz? How easy cartel? How easy will it be for the radical Islamists that are here? It's too easy. America, honestly, I think has fallen asleep for the most part of the last couple of generations. And they believe that they can never become like South America or like Mexico or like parts of Africa. The problem with America is that the people of America do not understand what poverty is. Now, granted, some people are going to get really pissed off I just said that. But I've been to parts of this world where I have seen poverty. Poverty is not the fact that the government gives you $500 a month so that you can go and waste it at McDonald's and at Dollar General and end up becoming morbidly obese. That's not poverty. I'm talking about starving people. Eventually, what will end up happening if we don't right this wrong with our infrastructure and get the American population in better survivability chance like what Russia is doing to its people? Slap myself in the head every time I have to say this.
Yes.
Russia is doing it, but we're not.
I know.
Here's the thing. We will become just like every third world nation. And just like every third world nation, look at what's happening in Africa. Look at what is happening in Mexico. The narco state. The terrorist state. That will be America. America will eventually be dwindled down to colonies again. And colonies will fight colonies for resources. Divisions will fight subdivisions for resources. And it's because no one prepared.
You know, Wrecker, we're just about out of time. We're about 20 seconds away from the close of this segment.